Oh, yep. All right. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see y'all this evening in the sanctuary and online. We're going to start out by singing Love Lifted Me on page 508. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Praise the Lord. All right. Our next song is When We All Get to Heaven.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will be
gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Praise the Lord. All right, our next song will be When the Roll is Called Up Yonder.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And when the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And when the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. And then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And when the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen. All right, our last song this evening is Jesus is Calling.
Jesus is tenderly calling you home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will you roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, bring him your burden and you shall be blessed. He will not turn you away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is waiting, oh come to him now. Waiting today, come with your sins at his feet lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. Calling today, calling today. Tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, hold this to his voice. Hear him today, hear him today.
shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
Praise the Lord. Please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Two, you got me back there? Okay, very good. All right, good to see you, Ray. All right. Well, good Wednesday evening. Those of you watching online, are they trying to start Awana's back tonight? Is that going on? No, Awana's is not starting back. Okay, and the youth's not going on, though, right? They're over there? They are next door? Okay. Huh? Awana's is starting. Okay. Not the little bitties. Huh. Well, hold on. Let me get my... put this back on. I'm going to look back. I'm going to look outside and just see what's going on. Oh, yeah, okay. All right, so they are starting. I thought they were. But Brother Marco's not feeling good. He's not here. Is that correct? He's not here now. Okay. Ron's got it. Amen. All right, well, outstanding. Good to see each and every one of you. Those of you who join us online, good to see you folks tonight. Prayer requests, praises, what do we got? Praises. Paul McCormick, home from the hospital. Yeah. Paul McCormick, home from hospital. And then he's got some more doctor's appointments. And he's got him a few weeks rest and recoup. Okay? What else? What else? Praises. Forty-7 years. Is that today? Is that yesterday? All right. Kathy and James, 47. 47 years. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. She could have said, hit it, buddy. Amen. Well, congratulations on 47 years. Amen. That's huge. All right. Kathy and James, 47 years. Anniversary. What else? Praises. Yeah, Bobby. Yeah, Debbie Thornton. Debbie Thornton, new grandbaby. It's a girl, right? New grandbaby. Yeah, we prayed for that. Okay, 7 pounds, 1 ounce. It's a little girl. Little girl. Do we know the name on Debbie Thornton's? Okay. And then what was your other deal, Bobby? Oh, they moved it up. 23rd. And what's her name? Jayla. And what is she having? Do you know? Little girl. Already named it. Elliot Gale. I like it. That's different. Hold on. Somebody beat you. Somebody bring, go ahead, Miss Karen. Yes? What? That's a little bitty guy. Oh, the daughter-in-law? All right, Brother Malcolm and Nancy, grandparents, and the little baby's how big? 6 lbs and 10 ounces. And that's a boy. So they were surprised. Yeah, Hogan Day. That's the way to go, isn't it? So you got a name picked out for both, just in case. Hogan Day Ellis. All right, 6 pounds, 10 ounces. That little guy better grow. Them boys normally come out bigger than that. How big were you, Trev? I think Trev was like 8'10". He's like a big old chunk, man. I said, here's your baby boy. Okay, what's the daughter-in-law's name? Whitney. Daughter-in-law, Whitney. Okay, daughter-in-law Whitney, bed rest, seizure, high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. All right, yes, Miss Vicki. Did you pass? They said you got a good heart. A good heart and a clear mind. I'm here to stay. All right, Miss Vicki, way to go. Oh, did he? Okay. Miss Vicki. Do we know? We don't know his results, so. Okay. All right. So they did a chemical. They did a chemical on you, and what else? Echo. And a chemical stress test. All right. All right. Any other praises? Do that. Yeah, President Trump. Since you brought him up, John, I call him like I see him, right? And I'm glad he's home and I'm glad he's well. But every time I pray for this guy and pray for the election, he ends up opening up, he opens up his mouth. I just wish he would just stay home for 10 days. Yeah. If he wins the election, I'm voting for him. If he wins the election, it will be one of the biggest political comebacks of all time. I'm telling you, man. When you stand up in front of the American people and 200,000 people have died, and okay. So the numbers are exaggerated. Well, maybe the numbers are not. Maybe the numbers are underinflated. Who knows? But let's just say, can we say 100,000 people have died? If 200,000 people haven't died, let's say 100,000 people have died. Is that a good number, 100,000 people? That we're saying that maybe they've inflated them by double. That's 100,000 people, man, that have lost loved ones that weren't there at their bedside, that were not there at their bedside. And then to have our leader stand up. Whew! I mean, I just listened to it and I cringe. Still praying for him. Still going to vote for him, John. But I'm telling you what, my kids want to go shoot guns. Hey, Daddy, can we go to the gun range? No, we're not going to the gun range. Why are we not going to the gun range? I don't know if I can get ammo after November the 3rd. I don't know. I mean, this thing may go south quick, friend. So if you got a gun, you better hold on to it. If you got ammo, you better, instead of blowing it down the range, you better hold on to it. Because if the Democrats get the office and they keep the House and they swing the Senate, 9mm will be how much around, Bobby, you think? Huh? Yeah, it'll be a bunch. It ain't going to be the 22. Well, yeah, what do you think 22 ammo is going to be? Yeah, it's going to be outrageous. So, for nine? Oh my. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've got enough, but I tell you what, I'd like to teach my kids how to shoot and or shoot better, and you know, have guns be a part of their lives and all that other stuff. Not for the sense of self-defense, and this is who we are, Second Amendment people. But man, we cannot. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? People have feelings, right? Don't you have feelings? I mean, you know, you want to be there when your loved one dies, don't you? Don't you want to hold their hand? Don't you want to look at? Right. Yeah. But they might have been there with them. They might have been there with them, James. In the room, holding their hand. They might have had a funeral. They might have had a funeral. That they might have been able to say bye. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they've said it. They've said it. No, they're going to school. Yeah. Yeah. James, all I'm saying, there was two ways to play. There's two ways to play the president's recovery, right? This is not a political rally. We're moving on. Anybody got any more praises? Yeah. John brought it up. John brought it up. So those of you online, email John. All right, here we go. All right. All right. You've been through the ringer. Oh, my God. All right. Amen. Amen. All right. That might get 4 inches taller, huh? Amen. All right. What else? What else? Anything else? Any other prayer? Any other prayer requests? Oh my goodness. And this is Bill. What are we praying for? The doctor's wisdom? Heart, lungs. All right. Cardiologist, pulmonologist. Somebody figure it out. What else? Unspoken, yes. Okay. Right. He says you're going to meet with a doctor. And he's meeting the oncologist when? Next week. All right. Wednesday, Thursday, okay. Discuss PET scan results. Okay. What else? What else? How's your coworker doing that lost the daughter? Has she come back? She hadn't come back yet. Okay. Tentative. Okay. All right. Trevor's coworker, daughter died of COVID. 29? 29. All right. Done. Yeah. Yeah. What else? What else? Anything else? Prayer requests? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll lift these praises up. Got a lot to praise the Lord about. Amen? I'm telling you, man, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. In spite of everything going on, we got some praises to lift up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that we can gather together, Lord, in a free place, a free state. And Lord, we got religious freedom. And Lord, we just praising you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and thank you for taking care of our sin issues and that sin penalty with your shed blood on Calvary's cross. We praise you and thank you for that tonight. Lord, as we come to you this Wednesday evening, we lift up these praises to you. Our hearts are full with praise and thanksgiving, Lord, for how you have moved in the lives of others and how you have blessed and brought them through. And Lord, we just first lift up Paul McCormick to you. We thank you that he's home from the hospital. We pray for his continued healing. And Lord, we just pray you help him slow down so he can kind of regain his strength and, Lord, just get back to where he once was. We're thankful for the pacemaker. And Lord, we just pray you continue to keep him healthy, keep him safe. Be with his Pat as she cares for him. Lord, watch over their home. We pray nothing else would come against them at this time. We lift up Kathy and James, Lord. We just praise you for their marriage of 47 years. And Lord, we pray as they get ready to look towards the big 5-0. If Lord, if you haven't raptured the church in 3 years, we'll have big celebration for that big 5-0. So Lord, we're thankful for that marriage, and all the kids and the grandkids and all the blessings they've received. Thank you for the gift of family and the gift of marriage. We're thankful for all the little babies, Debbie Thornton's new grandbaby. Lord, we just thank you that you brought that daughter-in-law through that high-risk pregnancy, and Lord, you're seeing them through. We just praise you and thank you for that. And then, Lord, we lift up Bobby's son's fiance with this impending delivery, moved up from the 23rd to the 16th. We pray for that mother's health and for that little baby girl. We pray for her health, that everything would be fine as she gets ready to take her first breath of air on the outside. So, Lord, we just lift up Jayla and little Elliot Geldenite. We pray for their health. Lord, we lift up Brother Malcolm and Nancy. We just praise you for that wonderful gift of life and Hogan Day Ellis, that little grandbaby boy. And, Lord, we just praying for a healthy week, healthy month, Lord, as that little guy grows and just gets ready to get after it. We pray for the daughter-in-law, Whitney, and the high blood pressure. Pray there be no more seizures, that you watch over her, Lord, that you just care for her, take care of her, and watch over her. Lord, we do praise you for Miss Vicky's clean bill of health with a heart doctor. And, Lord, I just pray you give Miss Vicky many years of continued service to you. Thank you for her faithfulness and, Lord, just how she what she means to this church, what she means to me. And, Lord, just her wonderful attitude as she comes and is a part of so many things here at New Hope Baptist Church. We are thankful for our president, Lord. We're thankful for his healing. Lord, not quite healed up completely, but we're thankful for the progress that he's made with the virus. Lord, we pray that he not have any setbacks. Lord, we pray that he be able to get off of some of the medications that he's been taking. We pray that, Lord, the steroids that he's been on would not have any kind of lasting side effects on him. And that, Lord, he just gets through this, not have any kind of inflammatory response, that his body would just shed this virus and he'd just get on down the road with it. We do pray for his election. We pray, in spite of everything that's gone on, that, Lord, your perfect will would be done November the 3rd. And, Lord, however long it takes to find out who the president is, Lord, we just pray that your perfect will would be done for these United States of America, Lord. We just asking that you have a hand upon this election. Lord, there's so many voices out there and so much junk out there, Lord. We pray that you would protect this nation. Lord, we're trying to get it right. We're trying to get a conservative court to overturn some things that ought not be in this land. Abortion, number one of them. But Lord, we're asking for more time. And Lord, I know we've taken a bunch of it, but Lord, we're asking for more time, more grace, more mercy, so that we might be able to turn that thing around. Lord, we pray we turn Roe v. Wade around, the whole abortion thing around. Lord, we pray that wrong would be righted. Lord, that we would no longer kill the innocent in this country. So, Lord, we pray your hand upon this election. We pray for the confirmation of this Supreme Court, this new Supreme Court justice. And, Lord, we pray for a conservative court to do the conservative thing that conservative courts do. Thank you, Lord, for that as we lift up our government. We pray for the rest of President Trump's leadership team that has come down with COVID-19. Lord, we pray that you would bring them through the virus, that there would not be any loss of life. Lord, we pray for others that are struggling with it, that there would not be any loss of life. We pray for our military, those generals and those different heads of agencies and branches of the military that have come down with COVID-19. We pray as they have quarantined and some of them tested positive, we pray, Lord, you'd watch after them, bring healing to them, and, Lord, help them as they get through all this, get back to where they can serve and be part of the protection of this country. We do lift up Miss Karen to you tonight, and, Lord, we pray for this orthopedic surgeon that he would be able to help her in this area that she struggles with her back. And, Lord, we just pray you guide him. Give him wisdom and direction as he tries to best give her the best medical advice she can have for herself and for her body. Lord, we lift up Miss Bicky's sister to you, and we just pray for the physician's wisdom there between the cardiologist and the pulmonologist. Lord, I pray they'd figure out what's going on with Bicky's sister. And, Lord, they'd somehow be able to bring healing to her body. And, Lord, get her in the same kind of condition Miss Bicky's in. Lord, we do lift up our unspokens to you tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would touch those that are carrying these burdens. You would minister to them, Lord. You would help them. Lord, you would see them through as they struggle with these unspoken prayer requests, Lord. And Father God, I pray they'd be able to lay them down at your feet one more week, one more day, one more hour, one more minute. Thank you that you hear us, Lord. Thank you that you care for us when we're hurting, when we're burdened. And, Lord, thank you that you take these unspokens and make intercession on our behalf. We praise you and thank you for that. And then, Lord, we lift up Brother Bill to you tonight as he gets ready to go back to his oncologist and discuss these PET scan results. Lord, we pray that there not have to be any more treatments, that he is through, he's gotten through this cancer stuff, and that, Lord, you truly have healed him. Lord, we pray for a good report. We pray for a good testimony coming from that doctor's visit next week. We do lift up Brother Marco to you tonight. We pray for his health. Pray you that you touch his body, help him get over, through whatever he's dealing with. We pray for those of us that have gotten the flu shot, that, Lord, we would not get the flu, that we've tried to stave it off and tried to get ahead of it. And, Lord, we pray the shot not give us the flu. We pray we'd have some immunity before we come in contact with any kind of flu virus. And then, Lord, we just pray a general protection over the school, over the area schools, over the church, over the area churches. We just pray a hedge of protection against any kind of COVID coming in, Lord. We pray that we'd be smart about our social distancing, smart about our masks, smart about our washing our hands and all of that jazz, Lord. We'd just be smart, smart, smart about it. And that, Lord, you would bless our wisdom, our faithfulness, And Lord, trying to follow and do what we've been asked to do. And Lord, you just protect us from any kind of COVID coming in here and having some kind of big spreader event, some kind of big contagion thing going on, Lord. I pray that just not happen. Pray it not happen in any of our schools around here, Lord, any of our churches around here. Lord, we just ask that you'd be with us in that area. And then, Lord, before we close, I have to pray, Lord, for Louisiana. Those poor people, Lord, I lift them up to you on the coast. Oh, Lord, help them as they batten down the hatches for another hurricane. Lord, I pray that that thing would weaken, that hurricane would weaken before it hits the coast here on Friday going into Saturday. Lord, I pray the loss of life, there wouldn't be any, Lord. You just spare everybody. Lord, there's going to be destruction of property. We pray that you help those people clean up, rebuild, and get back to it, Lord. It's just a price we seem to pay living on the coast, Coastal Bend, upper Texas coast, Louisiana coast, Florida coast. It's just part of this area, Lord. We pray for the wildfires in California. Pray for the wildfires in Oregon. We pray for the hurricanes here on the coast. We pray you protect those people. Help them, Lord. See them through. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, well, let's look at this law stuff, amen. Look at the law. Last time we discussed this, some 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Hebrew slaves and the laws that kind of surrounded having Hebrew slaves. We talked about the difference between slaves in Hebrew culture versus slaves in our own American culture, how those things are different. You know, how really Hebrew slaves, it wasn't a lifetime perpetual, you know, nobody forced you as a Hebrew to be a slave for the rest of your life. Now, you can certainly volunteer to do that and enter into a partnership with your master. But normally, after 6 years, that's a done deal, right? And normally, you entered into servitude in the Hebrew culture because of, you know, debt, whatever. Something happened, you owed creditors, and for that to be paid for, you had to go into servitude to pay that off. The blessing was, as a Hebrew slave, when you came out on the other side of 6 years, you got some things. You know, you got some animals, you got some produce from the crops, you got some wine from the vineyards. I mean, you know, you kind of got set up and so that you could be reestablished into the culture, be a, you know, contributing member of society and all that stuff. So some great things we talked about, Hebrew slaves. Today we pick up personal injury. Now, personal injury in our culture is big business, isn't it? Right? The Texas Hammer. That guy cracks me up. You know, I mean, the commercials, and I mean, you know, he's not the only one. I mean, it's just a huge industry. When we talk about personal injury here in Exodus chapter 21, chapter 22, 23, it kind of picks up in chapter 21, verses 12 through 14. So let's look at that. 21, verses 12 through 14. Exodus 21, 12 through 14, the Word of God reads this. It says, "He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death." You see the capital punishment there for murder. "But if he did not lie in wait for him," in other words, it wasn't premeditated, "but God let him fall into his hand, then I will appoint you a place to which he may flee. If, however, a man acts presumptuously toward his neighbor so as to kill him craftily, you are to take him even from my altar that he may die." Now, when we think about the Old Testament, according to the Old Testament, murderers were to get what? Murderers were to get capital punishment. Murderers were to be put to death. Now, the liberal left will hear this and look at that, take that out of whatever, take it out of context, and they will say things like, well, the Bible treats life lightly. And really, when you study human history, when you study humanity, that's not the case at all. Quite the opposite is true. A study of humanity will reveal that humanity treats life lightly. All you got to do is study history. And then you see over and over again how humanity, how the worst of man, you know, when we're left to our own devices, you know, when we have no inkling of who Jehovah God is, you know, we just kind of go awry, then that's when we take life lightly. The Bible treats life with deep respect because people are made in the image of who? In the image of God. Amen. Therefore, if someone killed another, he has destroyed God's creation, and therefore he must be killed. And so the question is why? Because murder, taking the life of a human being, is destroying what the Creator has made in his own image. I mean, that's just a beautiful thing to me. You say capital punishment? Yeah. You've been made in God's image. And you ought to be able to live your life. That's why abortion, I mean, the cringe factor, man, the cringe factor goes off. The most precious, most beautiful thing, the most precious, most beautiful thing in all the world is a brand new baby with the potentiality of life. Oh my goodness. I just want to rip my proverbial, I don't have much hair, rip my proverbial hair out of my head and think how many times have we prayed for cancer? How many times have we prayed for a cure for cancer? How many times? I wonder how many times God has given us a cure in the form of a baby that the evil, the devil, satanic forces have caused a mother to choose abortion and that baby be aborted, right? I wonder how many times we've prayed for world hunger, or we've prayed for this, or we've prayed for that, and God has actually delivered it through the creation of a new being. You know, I mean, hey, somebody's got to grow up and invent it. Somebody's got to grow up and think it. But that kid never had a chance because he or she was aborted, right? Whether it be a black baby or a Hispanic baby or whatever kind of baby, the most beautiful thing in the world. Have you held a brand new baby? I've held one. You've not yet for you, but I remember when you were a brand new baby. But I'm telling you, there's nothing more precious, nothing more beautiful. I mean, when they come into the world, right? And they take that first little breath and you hear that first little sigh. I mean, that's got God all over it. I mean, there's nothing else you could do with that, man. That is just a God thing. Amen? Murder is an act deserving the most serious consequence, which is death. Now, although no specific legal penalty is given in cases of manslaughter, which is what kind of we get into in verses 12 through 14 of Exodus 21, a person who killed another by accident was still subject to the law of retaliation. There's still going to be a price to pay. In the ancient Near East, it seems it was commonly the duty of a relative to kill the one who had killed a member of his family. Now, praise God, we have laws that's not going on anymore. Amen? We got laws where that's not going on. I mean, we need to let the authorities, we need to let the legal system kind of handle these things. So when this scenario played out in the Old Testament, right, the Old Testament provided an asylum for who? An asylum for people who found themselves in that situation, right? So in that, when the Israelites entered the Promised Land, they set aside how many cities? Six cities, all right, six cities, called cities of refuge, right? There were cities of refuge, three of them, on one side of the Jordan. There were three cities of refuge on the other side of the Jordan, right? Have you heard of churches called cities, the City of Refuge Church? There's churches named that. There's a beautiful thing of grace in that name, City of Refuge, right? City of Refuge Church. So that's what would happen. So when that scenario played out in the Old Testament provided asylum in that when the Israelite entered the Promised Land, they've got these cities on either side of the Jordan, anyone who committed manslaughter, what do you mean by that? Accidentally killing another, what could he do? He could run, and he would literally run. He would literally drop everything. Honey, kids, I'm out, right? He would literally run to one of those cities, the closest city, and he would be safe. He would make his case to the elders of the city. Now, what would the elders of the city do? Well, they would conduct a trial. They would go back to the scene of the crime. They would interview witnesses. They would gather evidence, right? They would bring it all back to the city of refuge that this guy ran to, and they would conduct a trial. If after proper inquiry during the trial, the death was discovered to be intentional, in other words, it wasn't accidental manslaughter, if it was intentional, then the murderer was put to death, no longer protected, by the city of refuge. If it was accidental manslaughter, guess what? He could live out his days right there in the city of refuge. Relocate his family, take up a occupation, you know, that fit that city of refuge, and get on down the road with it, right? Now, what if he got outside the city of refuge? Don't get outside the city of refuge, right? You're staying right there, right? That's where you're at. All right. The second section, as we look at Exodus 21 and we dive on deeper into it, that's verses 12 through 14. The second section in chapter 21, 15 through 27, the second section in chapter 21 deals with physical injury. Significantly, there is no distinction. This is the beauty of God's law. There's no distinction between the various classes of society. Now, in our society, if you got, you get treated a little better, don't you? Right? If you don't, you get treated, but you don't get treated as good as the folks that got. Everybody, that makes sense? I'm not making that up. I'm reading that right. Right? In this society, under this legal law code in Exodus chapter 21, and where did we say this all came from? Came from God, right? Along with the Ten Commandments. We break the Ten Commandments out from chapters 21, 22, and 23, the law stuff here. Hebrew didn't break it out. This was all Ten Commandments on Book of the Covenant. This was their Book of the Covenant, right? What makes this so beautiful, in this Hebrew culture, there's no distinction between the various classes of society. Now, when we get to Jesus' time, because we're going to be preaching on that this Sunday, right, going through our Sermon on the Mount, they had developed a caste system with the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and those religious folks, right? But not here. That's not going on here, all right? Back here at the very beginning of it, the giving of the Book of the Covenant, they were better, so to speak. Now, did they have times where they got worse? Certainly, but not here at the very beginning. Unlike other ancient law codes, this law code here in Exodus called for everybody to be treated alike. Where did the people finally, in the first century, where did the people finally get to a place where they could all be treated alike? Do you remember? Think about it. Because we have the beautiful law code, all right? And then, you know, we go through Hebrew history, right? And then we get to the New Testament. Yeah. Uh-huh. The foot of the cross, right? And then what is an expression of the foot of the cross? What is an expression of that? It's an ordinance of the church. Oh, you could say both ordinances of the church, really. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. So, at the Lord's Supper, New Testament church, man, you may be a high roller. I mean, you may own 20 Taco Bells in Jerusalem. I mean, you're a bigwig. Right? At the Lord's Supper, guess what you're doing? You're serving this brother slave over here. You're serving him the elements, right? Because at the foot of the cross, everybody's the same. The blood covers us all. We celebrate the death of Jesus all the same. That when the church got away from that, they got away from that in Corinth. What were they doing at the Lord's Supper, right? They were dividing the haves and the have-nots, right? And the haves were having a big drunk fest, and the have-nots weren't getting anything. And Paul said, whoa, wait a minute. That's not how this is supposed to go. We're all the same here, right? So That's the point of what's going on here in this law. Unlike other ancient law codes, this code here in Exodus called for everybody to be treated alike. Individuals were protected, and the rights of individuals were acknowledged, even if the individuals were, guess what, slaves. Still had rights. Still has some protection. A third section. We're not going to read all this. You can delve into this. Make this part of your quiet time reading. It's decent reading. I like geeking out over the law. But a third section in Exodus 21 deals with injuries caused by animals. You ever have a dog that bit anybody? Anybody? If you had a dog that bit somebody? I got bit by a dog that was owned by somebody else. My parents didn't take them to court. You know why? My parents didn't put any charges on them. You guys know why? Because the ball had gone in their yard. It's a fenced yard. And what did I not want to do? I didn't want to walk around, knock on the door, can I get my baseball? I just thought, hey, I'm quick. I can jump the fence, James. That's what I did. I'm going to jump the fence and get my ball. Well, I jumped the fence and got my ball. By the time I got back to the fence to jump over it, I had two little nipper dogs on the back of my thighs, man. Now, hey, they didn't bite me bad. They drew a little blood. I didn't have to have any stitches. We just cleaned it up, put, you know, Neosporin. No, we didn't have that back then. We used that red stuff. What's it called? That's it. That's what they packed in it. Burnt like the Dickens. Yeah. Yeah, iodine. That's what they packed in it. But anyway, it was all good. Amen? Right? So, we're talking about injuries caused by animals. Here, negligence plays a huge part when it comes to injury by animals. If an animal killed somebody, then it made all the difference whether the animal had been known to be dangerous, thus whether anything had been done to protect others. If an animal was cantankerous and killed someone, then the animal would be put to death. If the owner, however, had known that there was a problem and had been negligent in letting the animal out of the pen, then the owner could be put to death. Now that would be pretty, what? That would be pretty tough and rough to follow. But think about it, you know. Back then, that's how they operated, right? I mean, if you had steers. I mean, I just read on the Next Door app. You guys on the Next Door app? Next Door app in Tomball? Somebody had lost 2 head of cattle. How do you lose 2 head of cattle in Tomball? I mean, somebody found 2 head. I've got 2 head of cattle there. They seem to be lost. I think it was down Zion somewhere. Yeah, there was a sign. And it ended up on Next Door. I don't know if the cattle needed to go to the vet. I mean, you know, and hey, we can't afford the vet, so let's just let the. I don't know if it was time to put the cattle down and process them. And somebody said, "Are you not killing my cows?" I don't know what happened, but these things happen with animals, right? The owner could redeem his life back. If he had the funds, right? If his animal got out and killed somebody, he could redeem his life back. For example, the owner of an ox who had killed someone could redeem his own life by paying an agreed upon sum of money. This was a way of paying indemnity, right? Now, what is indemnity? Indemnity is defined as security or protection against a loss or financial burden. We have what today? We call it. What's the other word that goes with it? Liability insurance. Yeah, that's what we have. Amen. Right. Why do we have that? For this thing called indemnity. Now we get to personal injury. Now we've looked at Hebrew slaves. Now we're looking at personal property. Personal property. This third division of the civil law relates to theft. It relates to dishonesty. It relates to the damage of personal property. Picks it up here, chapter 22, verses 1 through 15, and it develops the principle of restitution even more strongly. Restitution, right? Key word there, restitution. we find that property damage is never considered a crime against the state, but instead against the individual whose property is damaged. Now, the principle is that nonviolent offenders should make restitution directly to the victim. That's good. Amen? If negligence or guilt was involved in property damage, then depending on the degree of guilt, the person was to repay the victim one for one. That's decent. But if there was more guilt going on, two for one. That's even better. If there was a lot of guilt going on, 5-1. 5-1 payout. This part of the law distinguishes between losses that occur through negligence and losses that occur by acts of God, right? It's hard to get insurance against acts of God, right? Because there are, I mean, you know, the people in Louisiana, if they don't have their insurance set, they don't have it set, Brother John, it's too late, right? Because why? Because there's a hurricane in the Gulf bearing down on them, right? And the insurance company's going, you know, hey, you had to have this rider, or you had to have this flood policy, or you had to have this. Yeah, it's acts of God. If you lend someone something in this system of civil law, if you lend someone something, then he's obligated to take care of that item. But this is how they viewed, and I think we view it a little different, all right, today. But this is how they viewed it. If his house was hit, we're talking about Hebrew culture, way back in the day, civil law, or let's say if his tent was hit, his tent, his house, whatever it may be, if his place of dwelling was hit by lightning, and your property that you lent him was destroyed inside his dwelling, his house, his tent, whatever it may be, then that would not be the borrower's fault. He would bear no guilt to that. Now, if that happened to us today, our homeowners would take care of it, right? And we'd be able to take care of our neighbor's tool or property or what, you know, if it was some kind of expensive item. So, personal property, personal injury. We've looked at Hebrew slaves. The next section we come to, and I'm almost done here, the next section we come to is sexual and civic morality. That picks up chapter 22, verses 16 through 31. In these verses cover a range of crimes: seduction, sorcery, sexual relations with an animal, worship of God other than Jehovah, taking advantage of foreigners, taking advantage of widows, taking advantage of orphans, taking advantage of the poor, next section, blasphemy and offerings, particularly offerings of the firstborn. Now, when we say offerings of the firstborn animal or the firstborn child, when it comes to animal, we are talking about a blood sacrifice. But when we're talking about child, it's a dedication, right? We're dedicating a firstborn child, right? So we're not placing that firstborn on the altar. Does that make sense, right? Okay. So what holds these regulations together? These civil regulations, what holds all these things together? These things that we've discussed: Hebrew slaves, personal injury, personal property, sexual and civic morality. What holds all these regulations together? The thing that holds them together is the principle that our behavior toward others is to mirror the treatment, that we have received from God. For example, the Israelites were not to mistreat foreigners. Chapter 22. Let's look at that one right quick. 22, verse 21. You shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him. Why does it say that? For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Why were they not supposed to mistreat foreigners? Because they were once what? They were once foreigners. Because they themselves had been foreigners in Egypt, mistreated. Were they mistreated in Egypt? Absolutely. Were they oppressed in Egypt? Absolutely. What did God do for them while they were in that situation? They were delivered by God and then treated well by God. They had been blessed by God, so they were to do what? They were to bless other people. They were to bless other people, right? The principle that our behavior toward others is to mirror the treatment we have received from God. For example, the Israelites were to help the poor. 22 through 24 of chapter 22. You shall not afflict any widow or orphan. If you afflict him at all, and if he does cry out to me, I will surely hear his cry, and my anger will be kindled. Notice what it says. And I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. He takes that seriously. God the Father takes that seriously. Why so? Because God had delivered them from their poverty, and he had enriched them. For example, the Israelites were to offer the first fruits of their fields and their firstborn sons and animals to God. Verses 29 through 30 of 22. 29 and 30. You shall not delay the offering from your harvest and your vintage. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. You shall do the same with your oxen and with your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days. On the eighth day you shall give it to me. Why? Because God had done what? God had spared their firstborn when he had struck down the firstborn of the Egyptians. What saved the firstborn? It was the blood, right? Of the sacrifice over the doorpost and the lintels, right? That's what spared it. So when we think, and I'm almost done, when we think of how we ought to act toward other people, we first have to ask ourselves, how has God acted toward me? How's God acted toward me, right? Has God been good to me? Yes, yes. Has he been good to you? Been good to me. I mean, in spite of everything going on, you're still on the sunny side of Hallelujah Boulevard, right? In spite of everything going on, you still got more to shout about than cry and complain about, right? God's been good to us. Amen? He's been good to us, right? Has he retaliated against me? No, God's not done that. Has he returned tit for tat to me? No. Has he been unmerciful? No, God has not been unmerciful. I was nothing but a sinner destined for hell, and he was merciful towards me, gracious towards me. We were poor in spirit, and what did God do? He made us rich in Jesus Christ. So, the application is simple. How God treated us is the way we should treat other people. As Jesus urged his followers in Luke 6:36, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So the important last verse of 22:31, what does it say there? It says, you shall be holy men to me. You shall be holy men to me. The important last verse of 22:31, that first little phrase there, you shall be holy men to me, is repeated how many times in Leviticus? Well, I understand we're in Exodus, but that phrase is repeated 4 times in Leviticus. How many times do we see it? We see it again in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. And it affirms the ultimate standard for our public and private interactions. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Right? Now that's the standard. That's what we seek to do. Right? Praise God for forgiveness when we fail to do that. But that's what we get up every morning to seek to be. Holy for I am holy. Amen? Amen. Holy for I am holy. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, as we continue on through your beautiful document called the Bible. And we discuss these incredible things, Lord, that you've given in your Book of the Covenant here in Exodus. Lord, our own Western culture, our own system of laws is based largely on what is found here. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that we live in a free state, and we thank you, Lord, that we have rights and protections, and we thank you that they're God-given. And Lord, we think about how we've been created in your image. And Lord, not only us, but those around us have been created in your image. And Lord, so may we take that into account. May we think about that. And may we think about what we've heard tonight when it comes to how we treat folks. Lord, help us. Help us treat folks the way you've poured it out upon us. And that's with mercy and grace, tenderness, care, love, graciousness, all of those things. Lord, we're going to fail at that at times, but Lord, I pray we'd keep our sin account short in that area. And Lord, we would not be able to, we would not be afraid to eat our own crow and make things right when we need to make things right. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Lord, give us safety as we depart this place tonight. And Lord, the prayer requests and the praises that we've lifted up, I pray as we think of these things in the coming days and coming weeks, that Lord, as you bring them to our memory, we would lift them up to you some more as we pray for folks and celebrate with folks and think about the wonderful blessings that you've given to folks. May we think some good thoughts about them and, Lord, lift those up to you in praises again. You're a good, gracious God, and we don't ever want to forget it. Thank you, as always, for our salvation. It's in your name we pray, and everyone said, amen. All right. Dismissed. See y'all on the internet. Hope to see y'all back on Sunday. Come check it out, man. We got plenty of room in this place. Bring your mask. Germex up.
We'll get you in here. Plenty of room.